NVIDIA has lined up plans to mobilize more than $500 billion with six asset managers to make GPU compute a borrowable, bankable asset. Welcome to Debug the Hype. I'm Alex Morgan, and this show is not affiliated with Reddit or any subreddit. Today's date is August 11th, 2026. That $500 billion figure is more than a headline. It's a structural shift we need to understand. A Chinese farmer trusted an AI app and sprayed a herbicide recommendation that killed about 25 acres of sesame seedlings overnight. The man, age 67 and based in Chuzhou, told reporters the app suggested a product meant for soybeans, and by the next morning, both the grass and the seedlings had begun dying in large numbers. That's a stark example of what people on the technology subreddit are calling an avoidable, high-cost hallucination. The app gave confident advice about chemicals, and the real-world result was total crop loss. Watch this, because as agricultural AI tools scale, liability and vetting will have to follow the sales pitch. On the Wall Street Bets subreddit, someone posted that they put roughly $1.17 million into Microsoft, held 29 days, and walked away with about $340,000 in profit, numbers that translate to roughly a 29% return in a single month. The thread is equal parts congratulations and caution. Commenters flagged survivorship bias and the risk of concentrated one-company bets. Takeaway, big gains happen, but the odds and the psychology that produce them are rarely obvious until after the fact. So treat lucky windfalls as anecdote, not blueprint.
A viral post on the Wall Street Bets community captured a market mood many of us recognize. Optimism about AI's transformative potential colliding with signs of speculative excess. What changed this week wasn't a single regulatory move or a fresh earnings beat. It was a sudden, high-visibility articulation of a fear that much of the AI investment today is priced on expectation rather than proven, recurring profits. And that framing matters because it's shaping how money flows. The thread distilled a few concrete points. Big tech and investors have poured hundreds of billions into AI infrastructure and startups, venture funding has ballooned, and public companies and private labs now compete to sign long-term deals for power and racks. Sam Altman's own words were quoted in the discussion, that yes, investors are likely overexcited, and yet AI remains the most important thing to happen in a very long time, which is exactly the split the thread tried to capture. Enormous long-term potential paired with near-term froth.
Reddit commenters used blunt shorthand. Jokes about diamond hands on NVIDIA or lines saying any company that tacks an AI label onto its pitch deck sees valuation multiples climb. But beneath the humor were three practical worries. First, demand signaling is noisy. When companies sign multi-year commitments or buy racks on expectation, it can create a circular flow of capital where financiers, builders, and vendors all point to each other as the source of demand. Second, the physical limits matter. Data centers cost money to build and power, high-performance memory is scarce, and launches of new chip generations can quickly obsolete last year's racks. Third, consolidation is likely. Only well-capitalized firms will survive a capacity glut or a revenue correction, so the eventual market could look far less diverse than the current hype suggests. That framing, is this a bubble, matters because we are already watching deals and financial engineering that would have been unthinkable a few years ago. The clearest example, NVIDIA's move to partner with institutional managers to turn compute into an asset class. The company is reported to be working with six big asset managers to build financing platforms that could mobilize over $500 billion so hyperscalers, AI labs, and enterprises can buy servers and GPUs without taking the capital hit directly on their balance sheets. Jensen Huang framed it simply on CNBC. Chips are productive, long-lived, fungible, and flexible, and therefore an investable asset. That line is precise PR and also a pivot in how the industry thinks about risk allocation. Treat racks of GPUs like toll roads or real estate, underwrite them, securitize the cash flows, and let capital providers take the long view.
Let's unpack the upside and the dangers, because both are real and tightly linked. On the plus side, institutional credit can accelerate capacity buildouts that otherwise would have been cash constrained. If you're an AI startup whose product requires hundreds of GPUs, access to cheap, long-dated financing could mean faster scaling, better latency for customers, and less need to give away equity to raise cash. For large data center operators, this is a way to deploy hardware faster and monetize it through long-term leases instead of spot hourly rates that can stabilize revenue forecasts and open new business models. Now the risks, which are where the Reddit thread and sober market watchers converged. First, circular financing, the scenario people warned about, becomes more plausible when the same financial networks both supply capital and benefit from higher valuations driven by that capital. If asset managers underwrite data centers that buy NVIDIA gear and then NVIDIA sells more hardware because demand looks healthy, you can create feedback loops that overstate genuine end-user demand. Second, technical obsolescence compresses useful life. GPUs advance in leaps, and a rack that's productive today may be far less so after the next architecture and memory jump. Lenders learn this the hard way. If they underwrite 10-year loans on hardware with a 3-year performance life cycle, write-downs follow. Third, concentration risk is real, both of compute in a handful of campuses and of financial exposure among a few big lenders. Rating agencies have already flagged that massive data center capex can squeeze corporate cash flow. Insurers and banks will price that risk, and higher costs or tighter covenants could slow the very buildouts the financing intends to accelerate.
Reddit's reactions picked up those trade-offs in plain language. Some posters cheered, "More capital means faster build, more AI products, and a richer infrastructure market." Others warned about what one commenter called peak circular financing, money that only looks like new demand because it's being pushed through interconnected balance sheets. There was also technical skepticism. A thread replied that the physics of memory and cooling and the logistics of refresh cycles are what ultimately constrain model training capacity, not the size of the financing pool. That last point is important. You can force money into a project, but you can't force memory wafers out of a fab any faster than the supply chain allows. Which brings us to the mechanics worth watching in the coming months, because these are the levers that will determine whether the story tilts toward productive scale or a painful correction. First, memory availability. High bandwidth memory is produced by a tiny set of suppliers, and shortages or pricing spikes change the economics of every GPU deployment. Second, contract structure. Are lenders underwriting physical hardware and expecting steady lease revenues tied to long customer commitments, or are they relying on secondary markets and residual values that may evaporate if chip cycles speed up? Third, the entry price for risk. How much equity skin do developers keep, and how much guarantee or insurance do financing partners demand? Those terms will decide who actually benefits when you turn racks into bankable collateral.
There are already real-world examples of the leverage dynamic in motion. Anthropic's long-term agreement to lease a massive 191 megawatts at Riot Platforms' Texas campus is the commercial echo of the financing idea. One firm is effectively pre-booking campus power and racks for decades, so its services don't stall for lack of compute. That kind of pre-commitment reduces short-term operating risk for the AI lab, but increases counterparty and concentration risk across the hosting market. In another corner, firms trying to design the next GPU are reacting not only to theoretical performance goals, but to the memory they can actually secure from suppliers, which in turn influences delivery schedules and pricing. All of those pieces feed back into the financing equation, what lenders can reasonably expect as collateral value if parts are scarce or upgrade cycles accelerate. So where does that leave an individual investor or a tech executive making procurement choices? Three practical rules of thumb. One, read the contract, not the PR. A press release claiming a transformative financing partnership tells you ambition. The loan covenants, depreciation assumptions, and residual value clauses tell you risk. Two, watch supplier constraints as closely as demand forecasts. If memory or packaging capacity is near 100%, more money won't clear that bottleneck. And three, pay attention to who else is on the hook. When six asset managers and a chip vendor are in a deal, systemic exposure can rise quickly if market expectations fall short.
Finally, there's a governance and public policy angle the Wall Street Bets thread raised implicitly.
If compute becomes a bankable infrastructure class, regulators and insurers will face new questions about transparency, concentration, and systemic risk. Are large financing pools subject to stress tests like other infrastructure markets? Will governments worry about strategic choke points when critical AI capacity sits behind private financing decisions? Those are not abstract concerns. They matter for competition, national security, and the resilience of services we increasingly rely on. If you take away one framing from the two stories we just connected, the market mood on social boards and the $500 billion financing plan, it is this. We're moving from a period of experimental capital and spot market rentals to one where AI compute can be bought, financed, and securitized like highways or power plants. That shift can unlock enormous scale, but it also concentrates risks and changes who bears the losses when demand or technology moves faster than contracts anticipate. Keep an eye on memory supply, contract terms, and whether credit providers are pricing in obsolescence. Those will tell you if this is a constructive scaling of infrastructure or a mechanism that amplifies hype. If GPU racks become a new asset class, the real question is who gets paid first when the next chip generation makes today's hardware obsolete. This is Alex Morgan from Debug the Hype.